Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf mem beis. We are holding on daf mem aleph mem beis. We're about five lines before the lines get wide on daf mem aleph mem beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by the Cohn, Gordon, and Steinmetz families in memory of Rabbi Howard Joseph, Harav Chaim Shmuel Ben Zev, Zichrono Levracha. Rabbi Joseph was a musmuch of Rav Salvechik and Rav Dr. Belkin, and was a pillar of the modern Orthodox community in Montreal, where he served as the Rav of the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, the oldest synagogue in Canada, for over 50 years. His neshama should have an aliyah, his family should have a nechama, and we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So a number of very interesting topics in today's daf. First of all, we're going to finish up the details of the story that we said yesterday with all of the Tanayim on the boat and each one giving the next one the lulav to be yotze with. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the details of the rule of Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. We already learned yesterday that if a person is Toa Bidvar Mitzvah, he accidentally does an Avera in an attempt to do a mitzvah, he's potter. So we're going to give some of the details of when that in fact is true and when it's not true. Then the Gemara is going to talk about putting lulav back in water on Shabbos, or what about adding water to the water that it's already in? What about changing the water? Then the Gemara is going to define the different ages of chinuch for various mitzvos, and particularly when a child can be included in Korban Pesach, but many other mitzvos as well. At what age we begin to be mechanech a child? And that will bring us toward the end, to the end of the third parak of Masechta Sukkah, and then we will begin the fourth parak of Masechta Sukkah, and we're going to discuss, the Mishnah is going to describe how many days each of the different mitzvahs of Sukkahs are done for, meaning the mitzvah of Sukkah, the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, the mitzvah of Arava, all the different mitzvahs that relate to the Yom Tov, how many days we perform these mitzvahs for. And the Mishnah is going to describe also how the lulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, when Yom Tov Rishon would fall out on Shabbos, and how it led to a sakana, and what types of takanos were necessary to make in order to avoid those situations of Sakana. So let's begin five lines before the lines get wide on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Amalei Mar Bara Meimar L'Ravashi Abba Tzluya Kamatzli Bei. Meimar, my father, he loved the mitzvah of lulav so much, he would daven holding his lulav. So frankly, Gemara, are you allowed to do that? Meis Vei L'Yochaz Adam Tzvillin B'Yod of Sefer Torah B'Cheik of Yisvalel. A person shouldn't be holding a tefillin of Sefer Torah when he's davening, because he's going to be so torud, but with the holding of the tefillin in the Sefer Torah, that he's not going to be able to have proper kavanah, because he's going to be so afraid of dropping what he's holding in his hands. Below Yashin ben Mayim. Not only that, he also should not urinate. Below Yishin ben Loshinas Kev, Loshinas Harai, nor sleep in his tefillin, Loshinas Kev, nor Loshinas Harai, because of the concern that they might fall from his hand. We already had a brisa, three brisas earlier in the Masechta, about what exactly you're not allowed to do in tefillin. Is it you're not allowed to sleep Loshinas Kev, nor Loshinas Harai, that you're allowed to sleep Loshinas Harai, not Loshinas Kev, that you're allowed to do both? And we said that the brisa that says that you're allowed to do neither is if you're holding it in your hand, because if you're holding it in your hand, then any type of sleep will cause you to drop it, then it would be a bizayon to the tefillin. Vamr Shmuel Sakin Uka'ara V'Kikar Uma'os Harei L'Kiyotze Behen, that it's not only these mitzvah items you're not allowed to hold in your hand while you're davening, a knife which you're afraid might injure you if you drop it, or a ka'ara that's full of food that you're afraid is going to spill all over the floor, or a kikar, a loaf of bread that will get disgusting if you drop it, or ma'os, money that you don't want to spread, that you don't want spreading all over the place, and you might lose some of it. All of that is like tefillin and sefer Torah that the Brisa mentioned, that you're not allowed to hold these things during davening. And it's the same din. Tosus points out that the reason what Shmuel's adding to the Brisa is that one might have thought that it's only tefillin and sefer Torah where there would be a bizayon to kisvei hakodesh that it's aser. So you're very Torah that they shouldn't fall, because you don't want to be mevazik kisvei hakodesh. But money and a plate and things like that, maybe the tier does not so great. So Shmuel is that even on such items, we have to be, you're not allowed to carry them during davening, we have to be choshesh that they might fall. The fact that the Brisa didn't just tell us that din, why not just tell us the din about the money and the plate, and then I'll know kal v'chomer when it comes to mitzvah items. So the Aruch Lener points out is because the Brisa also wants to tell us the din of al yashtin behem, that you shouldn't urinate in them, you shouldn't sleep in them, and that's unique to tefillin, that's unique to when you're holding your tefillin. So that's why the Brisa spoke about that particular case, but the same halacha is going to be true. But bottom line is, we have a question then. Why was a Meimar allowed to hold his lulav during davening if you're not allowed to hold anything that you're afraid might fall during davening? So answers Gemara, no, hasam lav mitzvah ninu v'tarid behu. When it comes to all of the things that the Brisa mentions, you're not mekayim a mitzvah by holding them. They may be a cheftza shel mitzvah, some of these items, items, but you're not being mekayim a mitzvah by holding them, and therefore you're going to be very distracted from tefillah when you're carrying them. But hacha mitzvah ninu, but over here by netilas lulav, carrying it is a mitzvah. So since it's very chaviv to you to fulfill the mitzvah, you're not going to be distracted in the sense that it's going to cause you to lack kavana lo tarid buhu, because it's adrabah, you're going to be uplifted by the fact that you're carrying the lulav because you're fulfilling a mitzvah when you carry the lulav. So it's not considered like a burden to be carrying the lulav. That's how Rashi explains. The Ritva says he doesn't really quite understand Rashi. He says kol shkein, because of the chavivas ha-mitzvah, you're going to be more focused on the lulav that it shouldn't fall because you want to be mekayim the mitzvah. So isn't that going to distract you from your tefillah? So that's why the Ritva says that the tirda of lulav, since it's a mitzvah, even though you are focusing on doing that mitzvah, it's not going to be makiv the kavana, because chib of mitzvah is going to help in your tefillah. Meaning when you're more focused on fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem, you're more connected to Hashem. And when you're more connected to Hashem, your tefillah is going to be more impactful. So it's going to help your tefillah to have that sense of chib of mitzvah. It's not going to harm your tefillah. Whereas when you're carrying something that itself is not a mitzvah, so you don't have that sense of connectedness to the Ribbono Shel Olam by carrying something. I wrote in my first sefer in Siman Tazvav of Kon Alamo a discussion about whether a person can hold a smartphone while they're davening. Meaning, if you're davening, let's say you don't have a sitter, can you daven from a smartphone? So Beis Yosef writes in Siman Sadivav, Beis Yosef doesn't discuss a smartphone, but Beis Yosef discusses a sitter. Beis Yosef writes in Siman Sadivav, are you allowed to hold the sitter when davening? Aren't you afraid the sitter might fall? It's going to be a bizayon. So he quotes from a Truma Sadashan that when it says Sefer Torah, it's Lav Davka, Hu Adin Kol Kis Ve'akodesh, Afilu Machzorim Utfilos, and nevertheless, you're allowed to hold the Machzor Utfilu Biyadol Lispalol. Meaning, can you hold the sitter? The answer is, says Truma Sadashan, depends. Are you using it to daven? If you're using it to daven, then yes. If you're not using it to daven, then no. If you're just stam holding a Pesach machzor and it happens to be Yom Kippur, so then that's not okay. You're not allowed to hold Kisvei HaKodesh in general. But that which you're using to aid in the davening, that certainly you're allowed to hold. So that's probably aligned with what the Ritva says over here that we just mentioned. That the Ritva says that when you're feeling a sense of what you're holding is helping you to connect to the tefillah, so then it's going to be mutter to hold. There's still makom to say that maybe a smartphone is worse, because let's say you were holding not just the sitter that you were davening from, but the sitter was made from a glass or something, and if you would drop it, it would shatter and it was very fragile. Maybe such a thing you're not allowed to hold during davening. If a phone is very expensive and dropping it on the floor will make it break, maybe that will distract a person from davening, unless you have a very strong case or something that they don't have to worry if it's gonna fall down. But anyway, so it says Gemara further now. Tanya, Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik Omer, Kach Hayu Minhagin Shel Anshei Yerushalayim. The minhag of the Anshei Yerushalayim was as follows: Adam Yotzei Mibeis Lulav V'Biyado. A person would leave his house, he'd be carrying his lulav in his hand. Holich LeBeis HaKnesses Lulav V'Biyado. He goes to shul, still carrying the lulav. Kori Kriyat Shema Mispalel Lulav V'Biyado. When he goes and he says Kriyat Shema and he davens, he's still holding his lulav, aligned with what Amemar did, that during davening he would still hold his lulav. It was not considered a distraction from the davening, was considered to be part of what would help him in the kavana for the davening. Kori bat Torah, if he was reading from the Torah and he has to put the lulav down because he's rolling the Sefer Torah and he's opening the Sefer Torah, that's how Rashi explains why Kori bat Torah, he can't have a lulav in his hand. The Mordechai says, but when a person is Kori bat Torah, he has to be Ochez the Amudei HaTorah B'Shas Bracha. You have to hold the Amudim of the Torah at the time that you're saying the Bracha. So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Lamed Tes learns from here that even B'Shas Kriya, you're supposed to hold the Amudim of the Sefer Torah, because it says Kori Batorah, he has to put his lulav down. Why? Because his hands are otherwise occupied when a person is Kori Batorah. Rav Salvechik had a diuk, I think from a Rambam, that it's not only that you're supposed to hold the Amudim of the Sefer Torah when you get an Aliyah, but the Ola who's saying the Bracha should be the one that opens the Sefer Torah. A lot of times it's difficult to do that because the Bal Korei is very eager and he does it for you. But really he thought that the Mechayev of the Bracha is the opening of the Torah. So a person in one of the Masorah journals, they printed this, that if you open the Sefer Torah, that's what generates the chiyuv of the bracha. So the Ola himself should open the Sefer Torah, and then while he's reading from the Torah, he should hold one of the Amudim the entire time that he's that they're leaning from the Sefer Torah. So you can't be holding your lulav, v'noseyas kapav, and he could also do duchening at that point, because he can't obviously can't be holding a lulav while he's duchening. The truth is, is this seems a little bit out of order. Kori betorah and then nosias kapav. Nosias kapayim always comes before kriyas haTorah. Nosias kapayim is at shachris and kriyas. So it must be maybe we're talking about mechutz laaretz. And mechutz laaretz the only nosias kapav and yantiv. And on yantiv the nosias kapav only by musaf. So musaf comes after kriyas haTorah. Truth is though the Yerushalmi has the same brisa in the reverse. It has nosias kapav prior to kriyas haTorah. Maybe that's the difference. Yerushalmi is Eretz Yisrael and the Bavli is in Chutz Laaretz. So in Eretz Yisrael, they know, I don't know when that started, that in Chutz Laaretz we stopped being Nosei Kapav for all the tefillos. I'm not sure exactly when that happened. There was in Aruch HaShulchan, he writes that a few times they tried to change it, and then they saw Simanim Min HaShemayim that they shouldn't. They wanted to bring back the minhag to be Nosei Kapav, to do Nesias Kapayim at all the tefillos, and the Maisa went, Aruch HaShulchan writes, the Maisa went that the tefillah they were supposed to start it, the whole shul burnt down, and they took that as a Simanim Min HaShemayim that it wasn't supposed to happen. But anyway, so menichal gabe karka. When you're doing those things, you put it down on the ground. You can't be holding the lulav when you're trying to do nesias kapayim or when you're trying to learn from the Torah. Now that's a little bit interesting. Also, menichal gabe karka. That's where you're going to put a lulav on the ground. Are you allowed to put a tashmish al mitzvah? You're allowed to put tashmish al mitzvah when it's still zman mitzvahs on the ground on the karka. So the Chazon Yecheskel on the Tosefta says, yeah, stand it up. Don't lie it down on the ground. If you stand it up, that's okay. That's a respectful way to put it down on the ground. In the Birch Avram, he asks on the Mishabru writes in Simon Chafal Sivkot Nilches that the reason you have to be careful when you wear your talus not to drag the tzitzis al gabi karka, not to drag the tzitzis on the ground, is because of bizui mitzvah. So says Birch Avram, you see over here that it's not a bizui mitzvah for something to be on the ground. You're allowed to take it, right? Tzitzis are tashmisha mitzvah just like a lulav is. So apparently it's not a bizui mitzvah when it's on the ground. So one could argue dragging on the ground is different than placing on the ground, that dragging on the ground is more of a bizui mitzvah. The Birch Avram suggests that the concern with dragging the tzitzis on the ground must be a different concern. It must be a concern that you're going to passel your tzitzis, that the strings are going to get caught in something and they're going to snap. And that's the concern. Then you're going to end up wearing a beggar of dalet kanfos without kosher tzitzis. But apparently putting tashmishei mitzvah on the ground, we should know, tashmisha mitzvah, this is not tashmisha kedusha. Never talk about putting a sefer Torah or a sefer or anything like that on the ground, anything that has ksav shel Torah or tefillin or mezuzah. But tashmisha mitzvah, apparently the Gemara says you can put on the ground in a respectful way. Holich levakar cholim, lenachem aveilim. Then the anshei Yerushalayim would go to be mevakar cholim or to be menachem aveilim, which is interesting that we talk about being menachem aveilim at a time where you're doing the mitzvah of lulav. Normally you're not knowing avelus b'chag, but you're allowed to be, the chaverim are allowed to sit with him to be miyashiv daito, even though, so you could do some form of nichem avelim and chalim oed, lulav will be other. They would still carry their lulav with them. Nichmas to beis medrash, when they would go to the beis medrash to learn, meshagel lulav will be abnyo, be aravdo, be atshlucho, they would to hand their lulav off to somebody else, to their child, their eved, their shaliach, because certainly when you get caught up in the learning, it's very likely that you're going to drop the lulav. So my kamash melon, what's Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadik teaching me when he tells me the whole schedule of the Anshei Yerushalayim? Lo diach kama yizrizim b'mitzvos. Look at how careful they were about mitzvos. Look at what their schedule was. Well, what would they do? They'd go from their house to the Beis HaKnesses, and they'd be Kor Kriyashim, and they'd be Mespala, and they'd be Kori Betorah, they'd be Nosei Kapav, they'd be Mevakar Cholim Menachem Aveilim Beis HaMedrash, everything, one mitzvah to the next, how much they loved mitzvos, and they wanted to keep the lulav with them for every possible time that they could. Then we had said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yom Tov, Rabbi Yossi said that when the Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag falls out on Shabbos, and you brought your lulav out to the Rosh Hashanah, you're potter, because you were motzio b'rishos. This is the concept called Ta B'dvar Mitzvah, that if a person makes a mistake and violates an Avera in an attempt to do a mitzvah, that's going to be, he's going to be potter. So Amr Abaye qualifies that a bit, and he says, Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Yatzabo, that's if you have not yet been Yotzei the mitzvah. But if you've already been yotzei the mitzvah and then you continue to do an avera in an attempt to do a mitzvah that you've already been yotzei, chayiv. Then you're chayiv chatas for carrying it into the Rosh Hashanah. So if you've been yotzei with the lulav already, you've been yotzei the mitzvah of lulav, and you still carry the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, then you're going to be chayiv. So says Gemara, but by definition, if you picked up the lulav, you've already been yotzei the mitzvah. How can we have a case where you're picking up a lulav, you have not yet been yotzei the mitzvah, and then you carry it out to the Rosh Hashanah? Hamida Agda. bay, nafak bay. The second you pick up the lulav, you're already yotze the mitzvah. So what does it mean that you haven't been yotze the mitzvah yet? So the Gemara says two possibilities. Amar Abaye, possibility number one, kishahafacho, when you pick up the lulav upside down. If you pick it up upside down, you're not yet yotze the mitzvah. Right? That's what we saw in Tosos. Tosos had all these different possibilities of how it could be that you can make the bracha over la'asiyasan, back on the Flamet Tess. That how do you make a bracha on lulav over la'asiyasan? After all, the second you pick it up, you're ready to say the mitzvah. So one of the suggestions is that you pick it up upside down, and then you say the bracha, and then you flip over one of the meaning. That's the pashtos, what hafacho means. That's what Rashi explains. Rabbeinu Chananel, however, says that hafacho actually refers back to what we learned on Daf Lamed Aleph. On Daf Lamed Aleph, we learned that you're supposed to take the lulav hadas men aravos in your right hand and the esrog in your left hand, because the lulav is the more mitzvos, and it's that we say the bracha val netilas lulav. So lulav goes in your right hand. So or daf lamed vav was that we learned it, that the lulav is bimin and the esrog is bismal. So it says Rabbeinu Chananel, hafacho means that you flip him around and you carry the lulav in your left hand and the esrog in your right hand, and in that way you're not mekayim the mitzvah. In that way, you're not mekayim the mitzvah when you take it because you flipped around the hand. So the Ritva says that can't be because that's not ma'akev b'di'evet. Meaning, if you take it in the wrong hand, you'll still be mekayim the mitzvah. So Magen Avraham points out in Simtov Reshunal of Sivkat and Tess that yes, you see clearly though that the Rabbeinu Chananel holds that it is ma'akev the mitzvah. Meaning, ein hachinami. Apparently, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that is ma'akev the which hand you take it in. Rava Amar Rava says a different possibility. How is it that you picked up the lulav and you were not yet yotzi the mitzvah? You didn't turn it upside down or flip the hands or anything. You were carrying it in a kli, and when you carry it in a kli, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So says Rava, Rava who da amar l'kicha de davarach reshma l'kicha. But isn't Rava the one who holds that l'kicha de davarach reshma l'kicha, that even if you carry it through something else that's still called l'kicha of dalad minim? Says Gemara, hani mili darach kavod. That's only if you carry it darach kavod. Al v'darach bizayon, no. But if you carry it darach bizayon, then you're not yotzei your chiyuv in such a way. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Yossi, olasov shenutzos bein akpayim. Once we're on the topic of toa bidvar mitzvah, if let's say you have an olasov that's mixed in with a whole bunch of other birds that are a chatas of, they all had malika done to them, so it's all dead birds that the meat looks delicious. So kasavr chatasofi, and you took a bird that was an olasof, but you thought it was a chatasof. Big difference between a chatasof and an olasof. A karban chatas, there's a mitzvah to eat. A karban ola, there's an iser to eat. So you take a bird that's really a karban ola, thinking that it was a karban chatas, va'achala, and you ate it because you were trying to do the mitzvah va'achilas karban chatas. So pater, you don't have to bring a karban meila because you were toa b'dvar mitzvah. You were trying to perform a mitzvah. Says more, my kamashmalin. What's Rav Huna telling me that Rabbi Yossi did? Didn't already tell me the tav dvar mitzvah pater haynu hach? What he's telling me that tav dvar mitzvah is pater. We already know that tav dvar mitzvah is pater. Rabbi Yossi already taught me that tav dvar mitzvah is pater. Tosus points out that based on the Gemara Pesachim the fine base, Rabbi Yossi paters by a lulav only because mano bahul, because you can only be mekayim the mitzvah during the daytime by lulav. You can't be mekayim the mitzvah at night. So you have to say that by achilas olas haof, it's also mano bahul. I mean, Rabbi Yossi shita Maseches Pesachim is that you're only called the tav dvar mitzvah if you're pressed for time. If you're not pressed for time, then you have no excuse that, oh, I was trying to do a mitzvah and therefore I got confused and I got... No, only if there's pressure do we say that you're a toba dvar mitzvah, you're going to be pater. So what's the pressure by eating the chatasov, the olasov, thinking that it's a chatasov? So that's what Tosfos points out, that you have to say that by eating the olasov, you're also bahul to eat the chatas in order that it shouldn't become nosar, which you are pressed for time, that there's an isra of nosar when it comes to karbanos. So it's manu bahul as well. But anyway, ask the Gemara, we already know toa b'dvar mitzvah from Rabbi Yossi. So what are we adding? What's Rav Huna adding when he gives the case of the olasof and chatasof? So ma detei mahasamu to toa b'dvar mitzvah pater, hainu to oven mitzvah. Because one might have had a hava mina that if we only had our Mishnah, I would say, you know why the toa b'dvar mitzvah is pater? Because in the end of the day, at least you were not a lulav. At least you did the mitzvah. Avalacha the toa b'dvar mitzvah v'lo oven. that mitzvah. But over here, what did you do? You took a bird that you thought was a chatas ha'of. It's an ola ha'of. You ate it. So you did an aveira of eating an ola ha'of, and you did not do a mitzvah of eating a chatas ha'of. You ended up not doing any mitzvah. Say hello. I might think there's no such p'tur of ta'av b'dvar mitzvah. Kamash melah, and that's why it has to tell me that there's still a p'tur of ta'av b'dvar mitzvah. So meisvei, Rabbi Yossi, Amar HaShochit, as a talmid shenu muvukur kil chasa b'shabbos. If a person shaks a carbon talmid that has not been checked for mumin on Shabbos, chayiv chatas. He's chayiv to bring a carbon chatas for his shogig because he shechted a shechita that was not a proper shechita on Shabbos. But you have to check a carbon talmid for a mum. If you didn't check it for a mum, it's part of a mitzvah that you have to do, a mitzvah of bikur for mumin. So you did an inappropriate shechita on Shabbos. So you're chayiv chatas v'tzorach tamid acher, and you need to bring another carbon talmid. So according to Rav Huna, the Rav Yossi patas from a chatas, even if at the end of the day you didn't do a mitzvah, why over here are you chayiv chatas? Shouldn't we call this a toh b'dvar mitzvah? That you were trying to bring a carbon talmid, you were trying to do a mitzvah, and you messed up. You took an animal that was not mavukar from mumin. So amalei bar mina dahi. Nah, you can't bring a kasha from that brisa. Dahi itmar ala amrav shul bar chatai, amrav amnuna saba, amrav yitzah barashia, amrav huna, amrav kigon sheviu milishcha she'in mavukarin. Now the case where you took the wrong animals, you brought it from a room in the Beis HaMikdash of animals that were not mavukar yet, and therefore that's not called the tav b'dvar mitzvah, because these animals were not even omeid lahakrava. You brought animals that were not even omeid for the mitzvah, so you can't say that he's a tav b'dvar mitzvah because you were so tarud that the zman of the korban tamid is going to pass, because you should have paid attention to just where you were. That's karov lemezid, Rashi points out, and when you're karov lemezid, you can't call that a tav b'dvar mitzvah. The Aruch Lener writes that the reason that the reason is that Rashi holds like the Mefarish of Maseches Tamid. The Mefarish of Maseches Tamid in the third parak says that they would take the Tle to be Mevaker Ba'od Laila, when it was still nighttime. So since the Zman of the Korban Tamid had not yet arrived, that's why it's not considered a Tobit Var Mitzvah, because you're supposed to take it to be Mevaker Ba'od Laila when it's still the nighttime. Okay, so that's why that case is not considered to be a Torah b'dvar mitzvah. New Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, Mekabel Zisha miyad bina miyad baila. A woman could take the lulav from her son or from her husband when they get home from shul and they're carrying lulav. She could take it from them umachzirasa l'mayim b'shabbos, and she could put it back in the water on Shabbos to make sure that they don't wilt. That's how Rashi explains why she's putting it in the water on Shabbos. In the Kapos Tamarim, he says, you know, it's coming to tell me that if a hadas has prachim, has sprouts on it, that would open up if you put it in water, that you're not allowed to put back into the water on Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that we're not gozer mishum hashakas zrayim, that we're not gozer, this is going to be considered like you're watering your flowers on Shabbos. You're allowed to put your lulav back in the water on Shabbos. Rabbi Yudo Amar b'Shabbos machzirin, you could put it back in on Shabbos into old water. B'yom tov masifin, on Yom Tov you're even allowed to add new water, meaning beyond the water that's already there, you could throw in some more water to freshen it up. Ubimoid machlifin, and chalamoid, you're even allowed to switch out the water. You can pour out the old water and pour in totally fresh new water. And then a totally separate halacha, if a child is old enough that he knows how to do the nanuim, so then he's going to be chayiv in lulav. So a couple of things over here. So the Mishnah over here says that a woman could be mekabel the lulav from her husband, from her son on Shabbos, put it back into the water. And Rabbi Yehuda says that on Shabbos you can only put it back in. On Yom Tov you can add water. On Chol HaMoed you could switch the water. We paskin that lahalacha in our Chaim Sim Tav Reish Nundalit Sif Aleph, that she could take the lulav and put it back in the water and add water on Yom Tov, but not switch the water. On Chol HaMoed, she could even switch the water. However, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Orchaim Sim Shin Lamed Vav, Sif Yer Aleph, the Rama writes in the name of the Maril that you're allowed to put Anfei Ilanos in Mayim on Shabbos as long as there are no Prachim and Shoshanim that will open up from the moisture of the water. So the Achronim wonder that in our Sugi it says that at Shabbos it's Asur to put Tzmachim, to put flowers and that which grows from the ground in water on Shabbos. Only if it already was there on Shabbos in the Mayim, you're allowed to be machzir it into the Mayim on Shabbos. That's all our Mishnah allows for. So why does the Rama, in the name of the Maril in Hilchos Shabbos, say that you're even allowed to put it in the water on Shabbos so long as it's not going to sprout? I mean, when you have flowers, you're not allowed to put it in water on Shabbos. If someone, sometimes people invite guests who are not well versed in halacha, they're not shomer Torah mitzvos, and they'll bring flowers for the meal. So because they're invited. So what do? So you could put it in a vase. Just don't put water in the vase, right? Meaning, if you're putting flowers in a vase with water, is problematic, because that's going to be that's going to open up the flowers, and that you're not allowed to do. But to return it to water is what our Mishnah. But if you have things that don't flower, just stam a branch that it shouldn't wither, so that you're allowed to put in water on Shabbos according to the Ramah. But the kasha is that our Mishnah does not allow putting it into water; it only allows returning it to water. So how could the Ramah say that you're allowed to put it into the water? So some of the Achronim explain that that's what the Ramah means. He doesn't mean to put it into the water; he means to return it to the water. That's how the Chayyadim writes in Klal Yud Aleph. However, the Primugadim writes that the Ramah is to be understood kipshuto, that you're allowed to put it into the water lichachila, and he says that which Rashi says over here, that you're machzir into the water, and that's lav dafka, meaning one or the other is lav dafka. Either the Mishnah is lav dafka, that's how the Primugadim understands, that it doesn't mean that you can only be machzir into water that already exists, that it was already in, or the Ramah is lav dafka, and that's how the Chayyadim understood, that the Ramah would say you're only really allowed to be machzir into the water. In the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav has a different take on the whole Mishnah. He says that you have to be careful not to put water into a kli in order to put it there. You should be mamid b'mayim, which is in a kli previously, because of the issur of tikkun kli. So it turns out when the Mishnah says machzirim l'kli, it means that you're allowed to be machzir only to a kli that already has water in it from when Shabbos started and was designated for that purpose. So then you could put the flowers there, even if you could put the branches there, even if the branches were not in that water when Shabbos started. But if there was no water in the kli when Shabbos started, then you're not allowed to put mayim into the kli and to put the lulav in that kli. So that's how the Alter Rebbe has a totally different take on the whole thing. So anyway, so says Mar Pshita. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah that the woman is allowed to take the lulav from her husband and from her son? Just tell me, you're allowed to put it in the water on Shabbos. What does it have to do with taking the lulav from the husband and from the son? So says Mar Mao de Tema, hold the isha lav bar chiyuvahi. I might have thought that since a woman is not chayiv in the mitzvah of netilas lulav, emalot kabel, I might think she can't even be makabel the lulav from her son, because it's going to be muktza for her. So kavash malan, that since the lulav is usable for men, so it has din of a kli, it's not considered muktza for any. Anybody, not even for the woman. L'chara, one could have said that it's not, that the kamash malan is not just that because it's usable for men, it's not mitzvah for the woman, but it's because it's usable for women as well. Is a woman's not mitzuva, but she still could take lulav as an eina mitzuva viyosa. Machlok is, of course, between the Sfarim and Ashkenazim whether she should recite a bracha, but everybody agrees that she could volunteer the mitzvah as an eina mitzuva viyosa. Then we said katan yadel nanea. Then the last line of the Mishnah said that if a child knows how to be minanea the lulav, then he's chayiv in lulav. So the Gemara brings a brisa that's going to tell us a whole bunch of different halachos of when a katan can be included. Tanu Rabban, katan adel in anea, chayiv belulav. He's chayiv in chinuch, in lulav, when he knows how to be menanea the lulav. Lis atev, chayiv betzitzis, when he knows how to be mesatev himself in the talis, he's chayiv in tzitzis. Lishmer tfilin, aviv lokech lo tfilin. When he knows how to be shomer his tfilin, then his father should buy him his tfilin. What does it mean to be shomer his tfilin? So Rashi writes that he's not going to go into the Beis HaKisei with his tefillin. However, the Ran writes that he knows to protect his tefillin b'nekius. The Beis Yosef quotes from Sefer HaTruma, that a katan ayadeh lishmer tefillin is that he knows how to guard his tefillin like a lisha bal kanafayim, which means that he's not going to sleep in them, he's not going to pass gas in them. That's what it means, lishmer tefillin. So when a katan is yodea to do these things, to be minanea the lulav, to be misate in the talis, to be shomer's tefillin, that's when there's a mitzvah of chinuch in these mitzvahs. So the Achronim raised the question, wait a second, we just said in today's daf, mida'ag be'nafak be, the second you pick up your lulav, Yotze the mitzvah of lulav. That's all you need for the mitzvah. You don't need to do nanuim in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. Remember, we said when we discussed why it is back in the Flamed Zayin, why it is that we do the nanuim. So what did we say? We do the nanuim as a sign that to hold. We said three different possibilities. One of the possibilities to hold back ruchos ra'os talalim ra'im, bad atmospheric conditions, bad weather. It keeps away the bad weather. Well, and the Gemara had a comment. If shirayim of a mitzvah can accomplish such things, how powerful that is, that even something that's not part of the Ikara mitzvah. The Gemara made it very clear, nanuim are not part of the Ikara mitzvah. So why do we have to wait till a child is yodel and naneya before we're going to be mechayiv in the mitzvah? And look at the other examples. Lis atef patalis, the ituf is not the mitzvah. Wearing a talis, wearing a beggar of dal kanfos is the mitzvah. Lishmar tfilav is very nice and it's very important that you should do that, but to be mechayiv the mitzvah of tefillin, you don't need to be shomer tfilav. To be mekayim of tefillin, you only need to put on the tefillin. So that's why the Netziv in Merome Sada over here in the Briska Rav in the beginning of Arachin writes that the shir for chinuch is not only when a person knows how to do the mitzvah, when they can functionally perform the mitzvah. That's not yet the age of chinuch. The age of chinuch is when a person is able to do the mitzvah bishle musa, the mitzvah min amuvchar, with all the bells and whistles. Only when a person can do the mitzvah in its best possible way, only at that age are you chayiv in chinuch for a particular mitzvah. So lulav, yes, it's true, midag be'nafak be, but the nanuim are a very nice part of the mitzvah, and they're a good hidur on the mitzvah. So only then is a katan chayiv. That's what the Avnei Nezer has an interesting tzushtel. The Avnei Nezer in Archaim Sim Lamentes says, you know, what happens if a child was saved from a dangerous situation? He was in danger, and he was saved from the situation. Should the child bench gomel? So Avnei Nezer says, no, based on this concept, that if he can't do the mitzvah b'shle musa, then he's not chayv and chinuch in the mitzvah. What do you mean? Why can't he bench gomel? Because he can't say the bracha with the proper nusach. Hagomel l'chayavim tovos. L'chayavim means someone who would be chayv. A child is never chayv for anything. So a child is not cannot say l'chayavim tovos. He would have to alter the nusach of the bracha, which means he's not doing the mitzvah b'shle musa. Mainly he's not included in the chinuch of the bracha. One could have just said, forgetting this whole vart about mitzvah b'shle musa, that if the nusach of bracha doesn't apply to him, so then he can't say it. And there is no other bracha, meaning it's you can't make up your own nusach. You can't be mishanim medbeya shetavu chachamim bibrachos. But anyway, that's the nusach, that's how the Avnei Nezer says it. In general, when a child is in a situation of danger, parents very much want to bench gomel for the child, or they want to feel like they're doing something. So very often, I find at least, when people ask that child, and I say, no, for children we don't bench gomel. The parents are very disappointed. They want to be able to. So I say, you should do something to show Hakaras Tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You should give tzedakah. For some reason, people aren't as excited about giving tzedakah as they are about benching gomel. But you should do something to show Hakaras Tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But usually, when you explain the reason, you say, because a child is not chayavim. How can you say chayavim? So that satisfies people. They're happy with that explanation. That resonates for whatever reason with people. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Ayadeh l'daber avulom d'toru kriyashma. When a child knows how to speak, right away teach him Torah and Kriyat Shema. Torah Mayhi, what do you mean you teach him Torah when he barely knows, because he's barely stringing sentences together? You're going to teach him Torah? He's not ready yet. So I'm Rav Amnuna, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. Teach him to say the Pasuk, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. Right? That minhag is that we have a song for that Pasuk, so that and children learn it at the youngest age, because as soon as he's Yodei Ledaber, those should be some of the first words. In many places, we find that that Pasuk is symbolic of the entirety of Torah, that we use that pasuk as a symbol of Torah. So when you're teaching him Torah, you teach him that pasuk. Kriya Shema Mayhi. What does it mean if you're just learning to speak that you should teach him Kriya Shema? Pasuk Rishon. You teach him the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. It's a question in the Rishonim and the Achronim, that is that a kiyum of mitzvah of chinuch for Kriya Shema or a kiyum of the mitzvah of chinuch for Talmud Torah by telling him the first pasuk of Kriya Shema? Hayodeh Lishma Gufo. If he knows how to guard himself from Tumah, Ochon al Gufo Taros. You could eat Taros that he's come in contact with. Lishma Yadav. If he knows how to make sure that his hands have not become Tameh, Ochon al Yadav. of taros, then you could touch taros that his hands have touched. Hayodeli Shael, if he at least knows when he became tamei or not, that you could ask him and he can tell you honestly and intelligently whether he's tamei or not. So and he tells you he doesn't know, meaning he's someone who would know, and he tells you that he doesn't know. So then Bershosiach it's feiko tamei, Bershosram is feiko tahar. So then it follows the normal dinim of Savitim Bershosiach it's feiko tamei, Savitim Bershosiach harabim it's feiko tahar. See, if he doesn't know, he's any of the Elishael, then you don't have that rule of Savik Tuma splitting between Rosh Hashiachin and a Rosh Hashirab. That's what Tosos points out over here. Then the Allah would be Sveiko Tahar, even in Rosh Hashiachin, Vizeno Yodei Elishael. Hayodei Elifros Kapav, if he knows how to do Birch Kohanim, Cholkon L'Truma Besa Granos, then you could already give him Truma. Rashi explains, because Ketanim don't do Birch Kohanim. Only Gedolim do Birch Kohanim, so if you see that he's performing Birch Kohanim in Shul, so it must be that, or at least doing it by himself, so then it must be that he's a gadol, and that's why you're allowed to give him truma. Hayodeh lishchot ochlem mishchita, so if he knows how to do shchita, even though he's not a baki in hilchos shchita, you're allowed to eat from his shchita. Amravunavusha gadol omid al gabav, that's only if there's a gadol omid al gabav that sees that he's shechting properly. Yachal echol kazayis dagan, if he's already old enough to digest and properly eat a kazayis of dagan, of grain, so marchikin mitzvaso umeimir raglav arba amos. Then, if you want a daven, yeah, and some of his excrement or urine is in the vicinity, you have to be 4 amos away from it. If he doesn't yet eat solid foods, he doesn't yet eat a kazayis of dagan, then you wouldn't have to be marchik the dalad amos from his tzoa and meiraglayim. Amar of chistav u'shiyach lo'ochlo b'kadei achilas pras. That din is only if he's able to eat the kazayis dagan in the amount of time that it takes to eat an achilas pras. Right. So if you have, let's say, an infant that was just born, and there's tzavar meiraglayim of the infant, so you're allowed to say a bracha. You don't have to be marchik dalad amos. Sometimes that's no geya for a male. He's saying a bracha, right? And he's the father, Avia Ben, is saying a bracha, and they have what Rabbi Pesach Kron likes to call a rain delay sometimes during the mila. So nevertheless, you could say the bracha. I'm Rav Chiya Barei de Rav Yeva ubegadol that's by an adam gadol. When it comes to gadol, even if a person has digestive problems and they're not able to eat a kazayis dagan b'chdei achilas pras, still you have to be marchik from their tzoa and meiraglayim. D'chsiv Yosef das Yosef machov. That the pasuk says that when a person becomes a bar das, so the body becomes more sophisticated and the tzoa is more smelly and more problematic to say a bracha in front of. Yachal lechol kazayis tzli, if a katan can eat a kazayis of roasted meat, shochtan levas pesach, then he could be included in the carbon pesach because he could do the mitzvah. He could participate fully by eating a kazayis. Shenemar ish lufi achlo. Pasuk says ish lufi achlo techasu ala seh. So we darshan that it's roi lachila, as long as a person is able to do the eating, so you can participate in the carbon pesach. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad sheyachal varer achila. It has to be that he's able to put to identify what is edible and what is not. Ketzad nosel tzor v'zorko egos v'notel. Not enough that he can eat a kazayis of roasted meat. He has to be able to identify what is an edible food to put in his mouth and what is not an edible food. That if you would give him a rock, he'd throw it away. You give him a nut, and he would eat it. That he would know how to distinguish between that which is edible and that which is not edible in order to be included on the Karban Pesach. So Hadron Alach Lulav HaGazel, and Bez Hashem, now we will begin the fourth parak Lulav Va'arava. So when we talk about all the different mitzvahs that apply on Sukkah, some of them are min HaTorah, like Lulav and Yeshiva B'Sukkah, and the Simcha of eating Basar Shlamim, Nisa Chamayim, and there are other mitzvahs that are Takanas Nevi'im, like saying Halel and Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So we're going to discuss when all of these mitzvahs apply. So Lulav Va'arava Shisha V'Shiva. Lulav and Arava, the mitzvah of Arava, which is putting the marbiel shel Arava next to the mizbeach, is either performed for 6 days or 7 days, depending on the year. Hahal will explain that it's performed for the mission will explain. Hahal v'asimcha shmona. Halal and simcha are always for 8 days because those mitzvahs apply even on Shmini Atzeres. Sukkah v'nisach hamayim shiva. Sukkah and nisach hamayim are always for 7 days because they do not apply on Shmini Atzeres, but they do apply on Shabbos regardless. Hacholil chamisha v'shisha, being menagin by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, playing music by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, applies for either 5 or 6 days. So lulav shiva ketzad. How is it? When does lulav apply for all 7 days? Yom tov rishon shel chag shechalios b'shabbos lulav shiva. If the first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, then we even take lulav on Shabbos, and therefore lulav is going to be nogea for all 7 days. But b'shar kol yam shisha. If the first day of Yom Tov falls out any other day, then when Shabbos comes, we're not going to take lulav. We only take lulav on Shabbos when the first day falls on Shabbos, but not when any of the other days fall on Shabbos. Arava shiva ketzad. When do we do arava for 7 days? Yom ha-shvi'i shel arava shechalios b'shabbos. If the seventh day Hoshana Rabbah falls out on Shabbos, arava shiva. Then it's docha Shabbos. We do arava even on Shabbos. Shar kol yam shisha. But if the seventh day falls out any other day other than Shabbos, then when Shabbos comes, we do not do the mitzvah of arava, and the mitzvah of arava is only going to be for 6 days. Mitzvah lulav ketzad. How would they do lulav on Shabbos when the first day of Yom Tov fell on Shabbos? Yom Tov rishon shel chag shechalios b'shabbos. Everyone would bring their lulav to Harabayis on Erev Shabbos, and the people who worked in the Beis Hamikdash would be mekabel the lulavim from the people, and they would arrange the lulavim by the steps, by the Harabayis, by the platform, by the Harabayis. But the zakenim would put their lulavim in a separate room, not together with everybody else's, because they couldn't handle such crowds. They'd be pushed, they'd be shoved, it would be dangerous for them. So Malamdin or some Lomar, they would tell everyone, Bezim would teach everyone to say, Kol mi shemagia lulav liyado, harei lulav b'matana. Whoever gets my lulav, I'm giving it to them as a matana, and therefore it's not a problem of lechem. Because can you imagine if everyone's trying to look for their own lulav? It would be impossible. Then the machmer shkimen uban, the next day they would come and they would take whatever lulav they could find. V'chazan and zorkam, some of the chazan would throw out all the lulav and lefnaim in front of them. But what happened was they would start beating each other up to get the nicest lulav. When Bezin saw that this is getting dangerous, they instead made a takana that everyone should take lulav in their own home and that they should not take lulav in the mikdash on Yom Rishon. But at that point, the takana was still that you would take lulav on Yom Rishon even when Yom Rishon was on Shabbos. Okay, Bezin Shalom, we'll pick up with the Gemara on the bottom of Amid Beis tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.